It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Verrett. Later in the hour, we'll take a look at the emerging conflict between House Speaker John Boehner and some conservative groups over the federal budget.
But first, in 2008, the United States came the closest it has ever come to running a female major party nominee for president. Hillary Clinton was ultimately defeated by President Obama, but her campaign sparked a conversation about the prospects of a woman as president of the United States.
A lot of other countries around the world have been led by women, Nicaragua to the Philippines, South Korea to Australia. The United States hasn't done it yet, but why?
Our next guest put that question to a collection of interviews she did with leaders from around the country. Marianne Schnall is the founder of Feminist.com and the author of Daring to Be Ourselves. Her new book, the book we'll be talking about, is called What Will It Take to Make a Woman President? Marianne, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I want to start out by talking about your daughter, because daughters come up a lot in this book, and your daughter, the way you describe it, was part of, at least part of, the impetus for it, because she asked you back in, I think, 2008, a very simple question: why isn't a woman president of the United States? And it was that sort of simple, obvious question that set you off on this journey.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes I guess it's just sort of these questions that can come, you know, out of the mouth of babes that kind of wake you up to just, you know, it's a very simple, innocent question, and yet it's a good one. You know, she asked, why, you know, haven't we ever had a woman president? And it was on the heels of Barack Obama becoming our first African-American president. So it was a logical question for her to ask. And, you know, I found it, even though, you know, I've run a women's nonprofit and I write a lot about women's issues, sort of challenging to answer. And so it sort of stuck in my head, and I decided to explore it in this book. And, you know, I think the reason why it was so hard for me to answer at that point is because there's not sort of one simple, you know, answer to that question. It does require looking at it through a variety of different experiences and perspectives. It touches on a lot of interconnecting issues. So it definitely was an interesting question in and of itself, but coming also from at the time she was 8 years old, what that means for, you know, girls that there isn't a woman president and that they perhaps can't imagine themselves becoming president and oftentimes in leadership positions.
So when you set out to interview, and you interview a wide variety of people, I mean, there's politicians, there are entertainers, there are men, there are women, there are people we know, people who are less well known. So a lot of people in this book, when you call them up to, you know, sort of set up the interview and get things set, was this something, a topic that people were really kind of ready to talk about?
Unbelievably so. I mean, just so you get a sense of it, I had always anticipated that I would interview 20 people. And as I set out to do the book, what wound up happening is that the people that I interviewed would suggest additional people for me to interview and oftentimes give me their contact information. So not only were they excited to talk about it, they were really also seeing it almost like as a collective effort. And so I wound up interviewing nearly 60 people, which is why there's actually an ebook edition of the book with 19 additional interviews. So I think that says a lot. And I actually, there's a lot of interest in me doing additional interviews. So we're in the works to possibly do an online version where we can continue the conversation. It feels like it's a very timely topic.
And so as you went through the interviews, and I should point out that the book is it's you asking the questions, the guests answering the questions, and it sounds very much in their words. As you started doing these interviews, and then as you ended, did you feel as though you were getting some clarity on the answers to these questions?
Yeah, I mean, I think what was really, you know, it was such a diversity of perspectives that I wound up sort of soliciting. So it's, you know, everybody from, you know, artists like Melissa Etheridge to, you know, politicians like Olympia Snowe and Nancy Pelosi and men like Nicholas Kristof and, you know, Republicans and Democrats and young and old. So, you know, by the end of it, everybody obviously had different takes on it, but there were definitely some common themes that were emerging, you know, whether they were around the need to encourage women and girls to see themselves as leaders, or about the role of the media in terms of how it depicts women and girls, but also how it depicts, you know, female leaders. There was talks about campaign finance reform. There was the need to also support working women and families, and the need for just sort of cultural change in general in terms of, like, the strict gender roles that there are that not only negatively impact women, but also negatively impact men. I mean, that was also something that, that came out of this, this need to just kind of sort of redefine what our expectations are of both genders and what we're capable of, and, you know, sort of the cultural possibilities of change.
And so it's interesting because at the beginning of the interview, you said, you know, this as you asked this seemingly obvious question, it started getting very complex for you very quickly. But it sounds as though as you worked your way through this interview process that the answers were still complex, that there's not an easy answer to the question, why hasn't there been a woman president yet?
Yeah, I mean, people still say that to me, and I'm not sure that, you know, there is an easy answer, although I think the hopeful finding that I feel has come out of it is that people can now imagine it. It feels that it is more possible and that we're making a lot of progress. And I think, you know, part of it, what was important to me in doing this book was also the reframing of this as not a, quote, women's issue. I think that looking at this as an issue of the need for diversity and having a reflective democracy, which, of course, means not only gender diversity, but just diversity in general, and just how we all will benefit having diversity, and women are half of the population, and just, you know, we're facing really difficult problems in this country and around the world. And I think, as someone had said to me, you know, we can't afford to waste half our talent. We need all hands on deck. So this sense that this is something that, you know, would be of benefit, again, I think it was Nicholas Kristof who said to me, not just to the women of America, but to all of America.
And it's difficult to have this discussion without mentioning Hillary Clinton. You know, she came awfully close in 2008. 2016, all of a sudden, is right around the corner. Is this did she come up a lot in the course of your interviews?
Yeah, I mean, I might have brought her up a few times, but for the most part, her name just naturally surfaced. I think the reason why Hillary's name came up so much was, one, yes, she is definitely like our first visual. We can kind of imagine it happening. She did come really close in 2008. Right now, of course, her name is everywhere. But also, it just the sense, and this was from, you know, a lot of people I spoke to, Republican, Democrat alike, that she may be kind of uniquely positioned to break that milestone. I think it was Kirsten Gillibrand, you know, the New York senator, and Nancy Pelosi, who both said that because of all of her experience, she would be the, quote, you know, most well-prepared president in history. She also, you know, she toughed it out through a really hard campaign in 2008. There was a lot of sexist coverage, you know, at that time that, you know, was sort of an interesting thing for us to all witness and learn from. So I do think that, you know, her name in this book sort of looms large as being, you know, our first visual. A lot of other names came up as possible contenders, but there's just, you know, no question that she's the most visible one at this time.
And it was interesting, you mentioned Nicholas Kristof, and I think he's the one who said somewhere that he would, you know, if you would have made him bet before 2008, he would have bet there would be a woman president before an African-American president.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about, you know, the state of women politics and where we are right now?
Yeah, I think that there is a little bit of a sense that, you know, we're further along than we are. First of all, I think sometimes some of the, you know, the sexism in our culture, it's almost like it's become so subliminal that it's kind of just accepted. And so we may not realize that some of these things that we would think would be so possible, you know, we still have ways to go. You know, a lot of people pointed out the fact that, you know, it wasn't so long ago that women didn't even have the right to vote, which is pretty astounding when you think about it. So, you know, the progress has definitely been slow, but I think, you know, for the most part, it is something that we need to be more proactive on. I think just recognizing that the numbers are so low. You named, you know, a lot of other countries where there have been women leaders. The numbers are not just low in terms of, you know, I think it's that we're 77th in the world in terms of women on national legislatures, but also, you know, 18% of Congress. And then even in the corporate world, the numbers are just as low. You know, women hold only 14% of executive officer positions and 16% of board seats. So I think that when you say that to people, people have sort of more of a sense that we're farther along than we are and that there is more, you know, parity. So I think that I'm hoping that this book sort of also just, you know, creates more awareness for the reality that we may need to sort of consciously work on this to get to that parity.
All right, lots to talk about. We're talking with Marianne Schnall about her new book, What Will It Take to Make a Woman President?
And we want to hear your answer to that question. What will it take to make a female president? Do you think it will happen soon or not for quite a while? Why haven't we had one yet? And what do you think a woman president would mean to Americans in general and maybe to young girls? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org.
This is Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're back with Marianne Schnall. Her new book is What Will It Take to Make a Woman President?
And we'd like to hear your thoughts, too. What will it take to make a female president of the United States? Is this something that you think you are going to see, that you're going to witness in your lifetime? Why haven't we had one yet? 800-642-1234 is the number if you would like to join in. 800-642-1234. Marianne Schnall, before the break, we were talking about some of the statistics there, and I remember in one of the interviews, and I can't remember who said it, but you asked the question, as you did throughout the book, and the answer was, well, one of the things to think about is that women didn't have the right to participate. They didn't have suffrage for, you know, half the life of the Republic, and so kind of starting from a hole right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, and that's really like a startling fact. So I think if you look at it from that, you know, sense, it takes a while to change some of these, you know, perceptions and to sort of erase some of the, you know, the sexism that is in our culture. Because if you think about that, women weren't even considered, you know, able to even cast their vote, you know, the idea of becoming then president of the United States, you know, seems obviously a big stretch to that. However, you know, I think that, you know, there was a different in perspective when I would ask the question, where do you think we are in terms of the status of women today? There were a lot of people who, you know, felt we're making really great progress, and I think you can see a lot of signs of that. But there was definitely a sense that things are sort of really kind of very slow and stagnating. Like, it's just, for whatever reason, it's just, you know, I think it was Sheryl Sandberg who points out to the fact, even in the corporate world, like these numbers just, they don't rise above 20%. And so, you know, again, even though we may have come a long way since those days when we couldn't even vote, you know, that really has a big impact if our voices and visions and, you know, are not being, you know, part of the decision making in this country. So I think that, you know, as I said, there's been a lot of progress, but I do think that becoming aware and looking for what are the, you know, structural and other barriers that still exist so that we can try to work on them.
800-642-1234 if you would like to join in the discussion. And let's go to the listeners right now. Let's start with Dan, who joins us from Madison. Hi, Dan.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
First, I'm very happy to hear you discussing this. But second, I was curious about Marianne's thoughts in creating that specific title. I thought there might be other ways to phrase a similar topic, and I wondered why she chose that specific title, Making a Woman President, What Will It Take?
Yeah, you know, that's always been really tricky. That's actually kind of a good question. It actually, this whole book came out of, the first manifestation of this book was for an article that I did for CNN, where I sort of worked in this question into, I was covering an event, and I wound up weaving this question into some of my questions for some of the people that were there at the time. And it was everybody from Sheryl Sandberg to Jane Fonda to Arianna Huffington. It was supposed to be on this little vertical at CNN. It went up going on the homepage and getting so much feedback. So that was the title for the CNN piece. And then when it came to do the actual book, you know, it was hard to think of something that was, you know, kind of eye-catching, because there's so many books on women and leadership and women in politics. And I guess it's, you know, coming from that question that, you know, my daughter had asked, there was just something very symbolic about it. And it just, as I said, it was kind of this lens into all of the prongs of this issue. So, you know, I always try to say it in the same breath, though, you know, conversations about women leadership and power, because you're right, it's about much more than that. It's just that is a symbol. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it's the publisher seemed to like the title, and it does seem like, especially in the timely moment, which I did not plan, a little bit with all the buzz around Hillary, I think it's why it is actually getting the type of attention it is.
Let's go back to Madison right now and talk to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good topic, and first impression, just as a guy who listens to radio, talk radio too much, is that Hillary Clinton may be history in the sense that she's pretty much compromised, bought, and paid for by the same old white guy network who have given us Romney and Obama, and who have pretty much maintained the reins of power over the past 40 to 60 years. So I think that even if elected, she would offer no significant change for the 49% or the 99%. And my suggestion, almost devil's advocate, is that you make an effort to get Michelle Obama to run for president. Mm. That's my ignorant impression, that she would have 55% of the vote right away against anyone the GOP might present.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. And Hillary Clinton, of course, everybody talking about. Michelle Obama, possibilities there?
You know, the funny thing is her name did come up a few times. I think she's been pretty clear. I've heard her ask point blank by, I think it was Barbara Walters, that she absolutely did not think that that was ever going to be a position that was of interest to her. But I think it's great that we're having those conversations about what type of women are out there that we would want to or we could see, you know, holding that office. So I think, again, I'm always very careful to not too closely associate this with Hillary. Again, she's a big, you know, visual, and she's obviously understandably related to this topic. But I think the idea is to start thinking about who's out there that we could envision there. And again, it's also just about, in general, having more women in all positions of leadership, not just in politics, but throughout all sectors of society.
You know, during the course of your interviews, was there anybody who was like particularly pessimistic about the idea of a woman being elected president?
You know, I can't think of anybody offhand, but there were definitely some people who felt like that it would be, you know, were we really ready? What was going to happen in terms of even the media coverage? You know, and that was something that was of concern in the 2008, you know, campaign. So, you know, I think there was definitely a little bit of skepticism about. And a lot of this, by the way, doesn't necessarily mean that just because, you know, Hillary or anybody else would run. Again, this isn't just about electing, you know, any woman. It's also about who is the best woman, who is the best person, you know, to fill that job. And so there's a lot of, you know, factors that I can't predict. But the overall sense is that people were hopeful. I think the one thing I would say is that I do remember one or two people I'd ask the question, do you foresee having a woman president in your lifetime? And some of them, especially some of the people I interviewed, like past 50, would say, well, if Hillary runs, if not, I'm not so sure. That was a little discouraging to me in the sense that, you know, that she may be the most likely, most poised person to break that milestone. And if not, then people become a little bit more pessimistic about that possibility. So in that sense, you know, that's where I would hear a little pessimism.
You know, one of the things we haven't talked about is the idea of women in other countries leading those. There are lots of examples. You know, I think of Margaret Thatcher, Angela Merkel. Is there something particular about the U.S. that we haven't had a woman just yet or as president just yet? Or are they just, is it because of the difference in the way that they're elected or what?
Yeah, I'm not really, you know, sure about that either. I mean, that's come up a few times. And I mean, it's always different depending on, you know, what country you're in. Some have quotas. I mean, some even have systems that, you know, it's a matter of, you know, if the leader dies, and you know, it's the daughter, it's the wife. I mean, there's a lot of other ways that women have gotten into that position in other countries, but I think, you know, for the most part, I do think that in the U.S., where we think we're so progressive, we're not as progressive as we think we are in a lot of ways. And again, it's the pipeline too. I think you have to look at the fact that, you know, while it was really history making to have, you know, 20 women in the U.S. Senate, I remember saying that fact to my other daughter, and she was like, "Really, 20? I mean, you know, 20 is 20% or 18% of Congress is not really something to cheer about." So,
and I hate to interrupt you, but we've got a really quick call we'd like to squeeze in. Claire is with us from Madison.
Hi.
Hi, Claire. You're on the air.
Okay. I'm a high schooler in Madison, and I've been thinking about this kind of thing recently a lot. And I think when women go into politics or any position of leadership, they're often seen as, like, very cold and, like, not feminine. And if they do become emotional, it's blamed on their gender. And a lot of times, like, women, the media will focus more on, like, what they're wearing or, like, how they look than what they're actually.
And I think we'll have to leave it there, Claire. Thanks so much. Marianne, we're going to have to leave it there with you. Thanks so much for joining us as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Marianne Schnall has been with us, and we have been talking about her book, What Will It Take to Make a Woman President?
Stick around. More to come here on Central Time on the Ideas Network.